Oh, hallelujah. 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 We just thank the Lord for blessing us with another Sunday, another day, a chance to come to his house and be able to lift up his name and say, Father, you are worthy. You are worthy of our praise. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. It's just good to be back in the house of the Lord. I'm this morning trying to say, how do we power present this? I'm trying to get my pages straight. I'm still an old school guy. I write it on yellow legal paper. One of these days I will progress. And the sad story is, I actually have an iPad. But for some reason, I just like to write my thoughts down. I have to give you a title, but before I give you a title, I just want you to stand. I just want to read one verse. From 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. This is Paul as he writes to his son in the Lord, Timothy. It's a familiar verse that he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That one verse contains three important parts that I think are interesting for us to understand. First of all, we're in a fight. We're in a fight to the end. He says, I finished my course. He says, I've kept the faith. The title of the message this morning is The Steeplechase. Shall we pray? Oh, precious Heavenly Father, sweet God of heaven, this is your words, oh Heavenly Father. We've come into your sanctuary. You're standing upon your holy ground, Father. Father, we ask that you add a blessing to the reading of your word, the hearing of your words, Father. Then let us take your words and use them, Father, that you should be lifted up, Father, that the world shall know today that there's still a light in a dark world, Father, that you are still the answer, Father. There is no other answer besides Jesus Christ, Father. Now give us strength, Father. Guide us and direct us, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. The steeplechase. In track and field, there are 44 events. 44. They're broken up into field events and track events. When you break them down into track events, they are broken down into what they call the sprints, the middle distance, and the long distance runs. Everybody thinks the marathon, which is 26.2 miles, is the most difficult race there is. But instead, it is not the most difficult race. The most difficult race is called the steeplechase. I don't know if any of you watch it, if you ever watched somebody do it, it is actually one of probably the most dangerous of the race. Typical distance is 3,000 meters. The problem with the race is, as you can see, there are fixed obstacles along the way. During the race, there's 7.5 laps around. There are 35 obstacles that you must overcome. The most dangerous of the one is here. That bar, typically for a guy, is 36 inches high. For a lady, is 30 inches high. But the problem is, when she crosses that bar, you understand there is a water pit on the other side. That pit is 12 feet from that end of that hurdle to the dry ground again. The reason I brought that up, that pit is also approximately 2 feet deep at its deepest point. I'm here today to tell you, as we live and we live for God, there are obstacles that we're going to encounter in this race we call life. I'm going to make a statement, but you may think it's controversial, but I'm going to tell you this statement. I wrote it down, and I still believe it to be true. If someone tells you living for God is easy, I said, get away from them. Get away from them. Let me be honest. Living for God is hard. You got to understand, when you decide to live for God, this is going to be a hard battle that's fought until I take my last breath. There is no day off. There is no hour off. There is no minute off. There is no second off. There is a battle that's taking place. There are two battles going on continuously within you. There is a battle within us. There is also the outside battle. Understand what I'm talking about this morning. In this race that we call life, we're in a struggle to the end. Paul begins in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy to write to Timothy. It's an interesting letter that begins to lay out, because he begins to charge Timothy some interesting things. I charge thee therefore for God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He is trying to tell young Timothy, Timothy, you got to begin to understand something. It's more than just about here on this earth in this day and time. There's going to come a time, no matter how long you live on the face of this earth, that you're going to take your last breath. Then something interesting is going to take place. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Understand something. God will judge everything. Ecclesiastes reminds us of that. God is going to bring everything into judgment. Every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, God's going to bring it into judgment. I'm here today to tell you, you got to run the right race. There is a world out there that's running a wrong race. When you're growing up, they say, you know what? Who dies with the most toys wins. But the problem is, he didn't take the toys with him. He left them here. The guy who died with the most toys still died and still will appear before God in the judgment seat. As we walk through life, there will be obstacles that stand in the way, that try and hinder us along the way of our walk. Can I have Galatians 5 and verse 7? This is a race that we must run. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Understand something. As we walk through life, there are going to be people along the way that try and hinder you from living for God. I'm going to make another statement I wrote down. If you are not living right, how can you expect the right results? Listen to me. If you're not living right, how can you expect the right results? In our society today, they expect the right results by what they call luck. I'm going to play the odds. I'm here today to tell you there isn't but one sure thing in life, and that's Jesus Christ is the only sure thing. Everything else is sinking sand. You got to build your hope up on that solid rock, that great foundation. That foundation will never change. That foundation is built upon Jesus Christ, and he alone is worthy. He alone is worthy to be lifted up. You say, well, I can build it upon my friends. You ever have friends that all of a sudden things go bad in your life and you can't find them? They all with you until something happens. So when you're little kids, you're playing with your friends and something bad happens, they all run home. And you're standing there trying to explain what happened. But understand something. Jesus Christ will never forsake you, will never leave you. He says, lo, I am with thee always. He gives you a promise that you can stand upon. But I'm here today to tell you, you don't have to be afraid of the hurdles and the obstacles that come into your life. You got to understand who you're serving. So Paul writes to Timothy and says, listen, you're going to be judged. He says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. There is never a time in our life that we should not be living for God. Whether we in church or we out there in the mall, whether we at work or with our family, we got to stand strong for the word and let the world know that there is a light out here and I am the light. Listen, they are afraid of you. When you're living for God, people are afraid of you. They're afraid of you because they understand the standard. So instead of a lot of times trying to rise to the standard, what they're really trying to do is pull you back down to where they are. Understand something. You got to run the race. You got to keep your eyes focused upon Jesus Christ. Listen to me this morning. The only people who can help you in this race are those that's running the race. Those people who are not running the race, they can't help you in the race. They slow you down. I tell people one of the greatest moments in my life was also some of the saddest ones. I'll give you an example. Normally we shouldn't use ourselves, but I'll give you one. When I started medical school, I had some very good friends that had already graduated. They had nice engineering jobs. They were doing well. They would call me up on the phone, tell me what they bought or what they did next. Here you are. You got no money in your pocket. You're studying all the time. The professor beating you across the head and the test whipping you up. And all you can do in that moment is you start feeling sad for yourself. Because they got a new car, they got something else new, and all you got is another text to read. And the famous line was that I always tell you, if you slept, you had time enough to do it, whatever work you had to do. But you have to reach a point that you can't take your eyes off of your goal and get distracted by what they're doing over there, because I'm telling you today, it takes a while. Oh, hallelujah. And you walk with God. You got to understand that I got to do something with them. Listen, we all have family members that's lost. We all have friends that's lost. If you have friends and all your friends are in church and none of them lost, I'm going to tell you a little secret. You're in the wrong spot. If you all your friends are in church, how can you fulfill the Great Commission? See, that's the problem Jesus wrestled with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Because he all hanging out with the sinners. They were all upset with him. Well, how are you going to go win these sinners? If I hang out with only people in church, then how am I going to go win somebody that's not in church? Listen, if you're going to catch fish, you're going to have to go to the pond where the fish are. You can get out in your backyard and cast all you want to. I don't care what kind of bait you put on. You can put worms. You can put crickets on it. You can put woolly worms on it. You can put whatever you want to. But you're not going to catch any fish in your backyard. If you're going to go save somebody, you got to go where they are. The challenge is we looking for somewhere to go. God, tell me where to go. And they're right there in the workplace. They're right there in the school where you go to school. They're right there in your family, right next to you. But we're saying, show me where they are. I can't see them. I can't see them. God said, if you open your eyes, you can see them. They're standing right in front of you. But we always want to go someplace else to witness. But I'm here today to tell you, you witness to those that's closer to you. You witness them to them by standing up in the moment when things are falling apart and say, that's all right if it falls apart. I know my God will get me through it. I don't have to know the answer. I've got enough faith to believe if God has brought me this far, he will get me all the way over here. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul writes to Timothy. He said, but interesting in verse 3. Let me lay this out for you in verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. I'm telling you, that's where we're living right now. Every day out there telling, oh, you can go to heaven any kind of way. I go to work every day and we have this discussion. Because you're watching right now, there's another denomination that's got the biggest fight in the world. The Methodist got the biggest fight on the hands. If you hadn't been following that, you're missing something. But let me tell you something. It shouldn't be a fight. But you got a fraction over here that says, oh, we can be all inclusive. That everybody can do whatever they want to and still go to heaven. I'm here today to tell you that is not true. Jesus laid out a long time ago, you can't go to heaven. He said, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. So everybody's watching to see whether or not they have a split of the young denomination over here and those who are called traditionists. There is no such thing as a tradition. The tradition is, what does God's word say about it? That's the only thing I want to know. Tell me what the word says. If the word says this and you do something different, then you are wrong. But it's not God's word that's wrong. So you watch the fight, but we live in a generation that says, tell me how to get to heaven on easy street. I'm looking for easy street. There is no easy street to go to heaven. Listen to me today. There is no easy street to get to heaven. You need to open the Bible up and begin to look at some things. Look at those people who are used by God. Moses found himself on the backside of a mountain. David found himself running from Saul. David found himself one day and all his men wanted to kill him. The Bible says, David says, he encouraged himself in the Lord. He found himself standing by himself. That's an interesting story. I don't have time for this, but this is an interesting story. I'm going to give you a side bit to this story. God tells Saul to go kill the Amalekites. Did he not? Did Saul kill all the Amalekites? No. David finds himself encouraging him. What happened? The Amalekites came and stole everything David had. Now, if Saul would have done his job in the beginning, David wouldn't have had to deal with the Amalekites. He wouldn't have had to deal with them. But Saul didn't do what he was supposed to do in the beginning. How does that apply to us? It applies to our life, too. Because sometime in our walk with God, we have things that we don't want to kill. We don't want to kill that. I just take them prisoner. I just take it prisoner. I'm not really going to kill them. One of the things you learn when you study battles in military history is the prisoners who kill you when they get out of prison. Understand what I'm saying? You don't take them prisoner, you do them in. Elijah found himself hiding in a cave. Esther found herself in a palace by herself. Paul finds himself in prison by himself. Jesus finds himself one day all by himself. Everybody has fled and left him by himself. I'm here today to tell you, sometime in your walk with God, those people that were with you, you're going to have to leave them alone. Because ultimately, when you stand before God, it's between you and God. It's between the two of you. I always picture that line. When you get to that line of judgment, see, you got everybody in line. I say, you jump and you watch people in cars. They jump and they want to pass you. They want to get to the front. And I'm thinking, when you get to judgment seat, I wonder how many people are going to jump to the front of the line. No, ain't nobody jumping to the front of the line. Everybody watching to see what's going to happen at the front of the line. But I'm here today to tell you, if you live for Jesus, you don't have to worry about what's going to take place in that line. Oh, hallelujah. 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 So now we find they turn away. In verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. But I'm here today to tell you, he told Timothy, don't worry about whether they want to hear the truth. You just speak the truth. You just preach the truth and let them deal with it. God says, you are like a watchman on the wall. You are a watchman. Your job as a watchman on the wall is to warn them. Here is something interesting that we don't like, and I don't necessarily like it either, but it's in the Bible. He says, if watchmen on the wall realize the danger is coming, your job is to warn them. He says, after you warn them, their blood is no longer on your hand, it's on them. But if you see something happening and you don't warn them, then their blood's going to be upon you. So therefore, your job, if they're not living for God, is to let them know about living for God. But you should have to do it in a way of love. In a way of love. Be nice to them and tell them. If you got friends that's not living for God, you can love them along the way. But you reach a point where if they're not going to change, you got to say, somebody got to go. I cannot hang out with you. One of the funny things I think about when I think about that is, when I grew up, I wasn't in church, so we watched Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson had the moonwalk. Oh, people in here act like they ain't never seen Michael Jackson do the moonwalk. I don't know who Michael Jackson is. I do the moonwalk. I don't know who Michael Jackson is. I'm gonna raise my hand and say, I saw Michael Jackson moonwalking. Everybody else raise your hand, you saw Michael Jackson moonwalking. Did you watch it really closely? Let me explain this to you. And you have to be careful that you don't do this. Michael Jackson is looking forward but walking backwards. He's not turning around walking backwards. He's looking this way, but he's walking backwards. When you're hanging out with your friends, you got to be careful. Because the whole time, you're walking forward, but you think you're going backwards. When I lived in Galveston, we'd always go to the water and play in the ocean. The most dangerous thing in the ocean is not the waves you see. It's the undercurrent. That undercurrent that you can't see underneath that, that's the one that gets you. Because all of a sudden, you think you're out there and that looks pretty calm. Next thing you know, it's sucking you right out to sea. Right out to sea. The key is not to fight the undercurrent, but to use the undercurrent and swim parallel to the beach. You swim parallel to the beach. If you just turn and try and come right back in, all it does is take you out further. But I'm here today to tell you, why is you swim parallel to the beach? Because if you keep your eyes on something that's not going to move, you'll be safe. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, everything else will work out. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Timothy gets another note in verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Endure affliction. I don't like affliction. I don't like pain. Pain hurts. But he said, endure the affliction. Listen to me today. None of the disciples in this Bible waltzed into heaven. So I'm not sure where we get to the point that we think we're going to just waltz into heaven. There are going to be some things along the line that we're going to feel that inflicts pain upon us. We wake up one day, and let me be honest, your family members tell you, you're crazy. Why y'all living for God? You don't have to dress like that. You don't have to act like that. No, you're correct. I don't have to. I choose to. Oh, hallelujah. I choose to live like this. I choose to dress like this. I choose not to go over here and do that. No, I don't have to, but I make a decision. I made a decision a long time ago going down this road who I'm going to serve. So now Paul looks up one day and he says, you know what? In verse 6, for now I am ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul looks around and says, you know what? This thing is drawing to a close. But he says something interesting. He says, now, I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. He's been in a fight. He's fought a good fight. Think about this. He didn't say, I fought a superior fight. He said, I fought a good fight. Even Paul along the line had to struggle with some things. Otherwise, he would have said, I fought an excellent fight. I never lost a fight. put along. Elijah said, I fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. If anybody should have anything to say, Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, should be the one to be able to say, I fought an excellent fight. I didn't lose any battles. I'm here today to tell you, and you're living for God, you're going to lose some battles someday. But you just got to keep your eyes on the prize and say, I'm getting back up off the deck. Just because I lost yesterday doesn't mean I can't win today. I'm looking for the next battle. Paul said, that's okay. I've got to forget those things that are behind me. I got to look to the things that's in front of me. I got to keep my eyes focused upon him. He says, listen to me. He says, I finished my course. I have kept the faith. How the encounter turns out is not always based upon you. But he says, I kept the faith. I kept the faith. I kept back up believing, God, I'm going to win this one. He said, now henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to what he said, a crown of righteousness. The righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not only to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Not just for Paul. He opens up and says, it's for all of us that love his appearing, which means Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for us, church. Hallelujah, he's coming back. Did he find himself in some interesting situations? Yes, but Paul never lost sight of his ultimate goal. Churches, we've battled through some afflictions. As we have to go over some hurdles, we wade through some water. We sing that old song, one day it'll be worth it all. I'm here today to tell you, it will be worth it all one day. It will be worth it all one day. I've got about 3 minutes, and I see Sister Brielle moved over there in that corner. I see her back there. You know, she's like the teacher that comes into the room. You don't have to know anything, but you see him kind of moving around. But Paul found himself. Look at verse 16. Here is Paul that says, at my first answer, no man stood with me. Paul finds himself the first time nobody stands with him, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Listen to me. Give me verse 17. When you're in that moment in time, when you think everybody's forsaking you, listen to what Paul says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me preaching, he may be fully known, that all the Gentiles may hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Oh, hallelujah. Paul teaches us something here. In that moment in time when everybody else is fleeing, he says, guess what? The Lord is still with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Paul said, I don't know what anybody else is doing, but I do know that the Lord is with me. I know he delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. Oh, hallelujah. Shall we stand as we come to a close today? I'm telling somebody today, when you're standing there in the mouth of the lion, understand God created the lion and he will deliver you out. He will make a way when there seems to be no way. Understand something. The race. You got to run with patience. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Can I have Hebrews 12, 1, a familiar verse? Listen to what it says as I close. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with such a greater cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking on. Who are you looking for? Give me verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm here today to tell you, Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher. What directs you? My faith in the author. See, I don't have to have faith in man if I got faith in the author of this book. I got faith in the author of this book. That's all I need to know. I got faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know what brought you here today, but I can tell you, if you'll have faith in Jesus, if you'll just hold on, he'll get you through whatever going on through your life. He'll get you through the storm. He'll get you through the rain. He'll get you through the valley. I'm here today to tell you, when you look back, you say, through many dangers, toils and snares, I've already come. Oh, hallelujah. Shall we pray? Oh, precious Heavenly Father, there you great God. There is no God like you, Father. You alone, Father. You alone are worthy to receive the glory, the honor, and the praise, Father. Father, you've been with us in the midnight hour, Father. You've been with us when we're on the top of the mountain. You've been with us in the valleys, Father. Father, we ask you to take our hands and hold it, Father. Continue to guide us on as we walk on, holding on to you, trusting in you that you receive the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You're dismissed. We'll see you back at 1 o'clock.